You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter Ian Brown. Ian, one of the oldest sports cliches is you can't fire the players. It's actually not entirely true in baseball. When you've got a minor league system, you can, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the first change came as a result of the struggles of the Red Sox rotation. It was pitching coach Juan Nieves. I mean, the sort of knee-jerk is, what, did they think he was going to turn these guys into Cy Young winners? And obviously they didn't. This is a patient organization and not an organization that tends to operate emotionally. So this seemed like kind of an odd decision. Was this just a matter of scapegoating, or was there really something that wasn't working with Nieves?
No, I think there was really something that wasn't working. Look, they weren't looking for these guys to be Cy Young. They were looking for these guys to have a 3.5 to 4 ERA, not a 5 or 6 ERA, as most of them have. And they just felt like, for whatever reason, Juan Nieves wasn't getting the most out of his staff. And look, none of these guys have really even pitched up to their track records. Forget about not being aces. And I just feel like they didn't think that there was a lot of positive reinforcement coming from Nieves. Of late, they thought maybe he was getting overly down on the situation and the group of pitchers he had. So they just feel that they need a new voice to you know, the old new voice thing to come in and maybe shake things up a little bit.
They're obviously not going to throw anybody under the bus and not going to spend a lot of time saying, well, here's why this guy was lousy. But is there anything as far as game planning or prep that they think is going to be better with somebody new? Or is it really mostly, as you mentioned, the sort of communication and kind of mental approach side of it?
Yeah, communication, mental approach, and sometimes you just need a little bit of a shake-up to hold guys more accountable, unfortunately. And look, the other really underrated aspect here is, you know, Christian Vasquez came to camp as the Red Sox starting catcher. When that failed, Ryan Hannigan was the starting catcher. Then the next thing you know, both those guys are hurt, and you're looking at a young Blake Swihart, who they would have preferred would have rounded out his development a little more in AAA, and Sandy Leon, who hasn't played much Major League Baseball at all. So I think that the combination of, you know, the catching situation, I don't think that should be understated either in terms of how that's impacted the pitching staff. So maybe they just felt like they needed a little bit more of a proactive voice. Somebody's going to be a little more hands-on in Willis to sort of handle not just the pitchers, but the new catching staff as well, and game calling and some of those things. So it's just been a lot of kind of unforeseen things that have happened to the Red Sox here early in the season.
It was an unusual move to bring in a guy in season from outside the organization. Do they like about Carl Willis, and how did that kind of come together?
Yeah, no, he's a guy that John Farrell knows pretty well from the days in the Cleveland organization. He knows his philosophy, and you know, Carl Willis has had a lot of success with some of the younger Cleveland guys in the past. Obviously, they talked to Terry Francona quite a bit, and Terry was very high on Carl Willis also. So I just think that he thinks, you know, he sort of speaks their language, and he's on the same page as John Farrell, and that that will kind of help ease the transition. They feel he's a guy who's going to really study hard to get up to speed quickly. And if they thought there was a guy in-house who was ready to step in and do the job as pitching coach, they probably would have gone that route. But they didn't see that guy out there, and they really saw Carl as the best available guy out there. And they were happy to be able to get him.
The first intriguing transaction on the pitching side was not something to do with the rotation, was calling up Matt Barnes. He's somebody we talked about in spring training. He's an interesting arm. How exactly does he fit in with this big league roster right now?
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox need some more hard throwers in the back end of that bullpen. And Matt Barnes is a guy that they've identified recently. They think he might be better in the bullpen than as a starter, the way his stuff plays. And you really saw it in Oakland on Monday night, where he was just throwing some overpowering stuff there in the in the 10th and 11th inning, and they just feel that his learning curve will be easier as a reliever than as a starter, where he's worrying about 3 or 4 pitches, and now he can just worry about 1 or 2, and they just really need an arm like that. I think that he could really become an important part of this bullpen in the coming weeks.
If things don't improve, and Andy Kastrovitz had a very interesting piece on RedSox.com today with reasons to think that they will improve at least somewhat. But if they don't improve, and I know we've talked about this, but barring an external move, and I'm sure they're looking at it, what's the likelihood of an internal move? What's the likelihood that at some point we see a starter come up from the minors and take one of these guys' spots?
Yeah, it's a very real possibility that that could happen. I think that, you know, a couple of these guys are sort of they're on a tight leash right now. And I'm thinking of two guys in particular. I'm thinking of Justin Masterson, who's pitching tonight in Oakland, and I'm also thinking of Joe Kelly. I mean, they've just kind of maddening inconsistency from both of those guys of late. You know, you really can't do anything with Clay Buchholz, Matthew. I mean, Clay Buchholz is going to be in this rotation for better or worse, for good or bad. That's just, you know, he can't really serve a purpose in any other area. But Justin Masterson's on a one-year contract, so they could either move him to the bullpen or at some point just designate him for assignment and swallow the rest of that money. Joe Kelly's got a really nice arm, and we've talked about this online and offline or whatever. And, you know, he's a guy who, if he can't get it together as a starter, I mean, like Matt Barnes, this is a guy who I think could be a dominant reliever. I mean, you're talking about a guy with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, he's got a lot of good stuff. He just, for whatever reason, he's having trouble putting together a whole game plan as a starter that's going to help him get through a lineup 2 to 3 to 4 times. So I think that Joe Kelly really needs to get it together quickly if he wants to stay in the rotation. Otherwise, I think you're going to see him in the bullpen. You could see the Red Sox call up and Eduardo Rodriguez or somebody like that, or Brian Johnson. They have a couple lefties down there that they like. And, yeah, I think that you know, some of these guys are on a very tight leash. The Red Sox can't go on any longer getting minimal innings and not great performances from their starting rotation.
And that's sort of the second part of the question. You know, part one is, when do they do something about the guys who are struggling? But to me, part two is this interesting second question where you've got a guy like Steven Wright who's sort of somebody who can take some starts, and you've got a guy like Brian Johnson who impressed, but I don't know that anybody really considers to be a high upside guy. And you've got a guy in Rodriguez who is awfully exciting. I mean, you know, there's this – different people have said he may have been the best minor league arm that changed hands at last year's trade deadline. He was a heck of a return for Andrew Miller, and he's a guy who's off to a tremendous start at AAA. If they start looking at that, and if they start looking at making some kind of transition, be it with Masterson, be it with Kelly, what do you think is most likely, that they go with the very young, very high upside guy, Rodriguez, who just turned 22, or do they go with one of the sort of maybe more stable but maybe less upside alternative options?
Yeah, I actually think it's kind of a combination of both. I think that for the short term, they could go with a Wright or with a Brian Johnson just to plug in and kind of see if he can get a little more, you know, some more results than you've gotten lately. And then once they deem that Eduardo Rodriguez's development is complete and he's ready, you know, this could be sometime in June or July. Then you go with him and kind of say, hey, you know, you're in the rotation the rest of the way. So I think that, you know, they're going to decide when they think Rodriguez is ready. They're not going to bring him up sooner than that. So that's the scenario where I think they could go with a Johnson or a Wright just in the very short term. And then you see Eduardo Rodriguez sort of midseason.
We've just talked about the pitching and sort of kind of been the way people have talked about the Red Sox this year, just talking about the pitching while sort of ignoring that the offense hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been what they expected either. They made another pretty striking move this week with the demotion of my man, the wrench, Alan Craig, and the recall of Jackie Bradley. What's the thought process on both sides of that, both who they send out and who they bring in? Because they're both interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think with Bradley, he gives you a left-handed bat. If he can hit maybe the way he was hitting at AAA earlier this year, he's yet to prove that he can hit in the major leagues. But if he can give you some of those quality at bats, and he gives you a really exciting dynamic on defense. And and that also has to do with Shane Victorino, where they just look at Shane Victorino right now. They don't see an everyday player. They look at a guy who, hey, if we play him against lefties only, you know, he gives us a pretty good platoon right fielder, and that would kind of be repetitive with Alan Craig, who's also a right-handed hitter. So I think that they're looking at Victorino to pair with Bradley and Holt, and even Nava if he starts to, maybe get his bat on track. So I think that's what they're thinking there. And, you know, Jackie Bradley with his defense, I mean, he's a guy who can win games with his gloves. So if he gives you anything offensively, then you have a pretty nice player there. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing Bradley play a little bit in the coming days and see if he's progressed at all offensively.
How hard was it to finally make that move on Craig? I mean, this is a guy, he and Kelly were the two pieces of a big deal, two guys they were excited to get, and somebody I think a lot of people thought was a big league hitter. To send him down is obviously not something you do lightly. How tough was that decision?
Yeah, it was a tough move. It's just, you know, if the Red Sox were playing better as a team, they wouldn't have made that move. But the way they're playing as a team, they need to get better results kind of instantly, and they can no longer just kind of let guys sort of figure it out as they go. And they're hoping that, you know, Alan Craig will go back to AAA and just, you know, play every day, get the pressure off, and just get his swing mechanics back. I think when a guy struggles and has injuries for such a long period of time, maybe some bad mechanics develop and some bad habits and maybe just a loss of confidence. And look, his swing is not suited as to be a part-time player either, so he just was not a great fit on this roster. But look, there's a lot of affordable contract left in this guy beyond this year, so if you can sort of get him right again mentally and physically and let him get something together and build some momentum, maybe at least you have a good player, whether it's later this year or into next year.
All right, well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.